This morning on WCHL, a new-to-America mosquito-borne virus has made its way to North Carolina, but not in the way it has Floridians concerned.
All of the cases in North Carolina have been people largely who've traveled to the Caribbean or some other tropical location.
Senator Kay Hagan's lead has grown.
With Tom Tillis being one of the two main leaders of the General Assembly, we're definitely finding that overall unpopularity of the legislature is rubbing off on him.
And what will Carolina's program Measure do with $180 million? These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill coverage of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports this morning, we'll step off the gridiron for a moment to look ahead to basketball season, where all eyes will be on Marcus Paige. And
Tony Dungy became his own self-fulfilling prophecy and proved his point.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
607 at WCHL. We have 71 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 88 degrees and a 70% chance of rain, showers or thunder showers. So it looks like it's going to be a wet day on the way, and also rather muggy out there. As the first domestically acquired cases of chikungunya were confirmed in Florida less than a week ago, the Orange County Health Department is advising residents to take precautions to stay safe against mosquito-borne illnesses, including the West Nile virus and the newly encountered chikungunya virus. Orange County Health Director Colleen Bridger told WCHL that areas with standing water are ideal locations for mosquitoes to breed.
The way you're going to get this virus is through a mosquito bite if the mosquito is infected. The best way to prevent getting this is to prevent getting mosquito bite, and the best way to do that is to eliminate any breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So bird baths, watering cans, all of those things should be dumped out every couple of days, because if there are any larvae growing in those pools of water, they will die when the pools of water go away.
Bridger warns about when mosquitoes are typically active and what can be done to prevent bites from happening during those times.
Dawn and dusk are the times when mosquitoes are most active. Best thing to do is to wear long sleeves and long pants, because they can't bite you through the material. The other thing you can do is look for bug spray. There's effective bug spray that has DEET, and then there's also effective bug spray that doesn't have DEET. So if you do not want to use DEET, there are other options available to you out there.
Bridger says that though there is no treatment for this virus, it's usually not lethal and must simply run its course. Those who are suffering from the illness are recommended to see a physician regardless.
It's a virus, so there isn't a treatment that anybody can give them. It's going to have to run its course, and for the vast majority of folks, while it's not pleasant, it does run its course and people get better. But if you're just feeling absolutely horrible, you should always go to your doctor, and there are things that he or she can give you to just help you feel better while your body is fighting off the virus.
Following the first case of chikungunya's discovery in North Carolina, Bridger affirms that the virus has not been domesticated within North Carolina, and all known cases in our state have come from people that have traveled from outside the country in specific tropical locales.
All of the cases in North Carolina have been people largely who've traveled to the Caribbean or some other tropical location.
For more about other mosquito-borne illnesses and how you can prevent them, you can find a link on our website at chapelboro.com. North Carolina Senator Kay Hagan has a 7-point lead over Republican Tom Tillis in her bid for re-election, according to a recent survey conducted by Public Policy Polling in Raleigh. WCHL's Princess Streeter has more on the story coming up at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. In other news this morning on WCHL, the UNC Board of Trustees will hear just how a $180 million grant will be spent this morning. The board held its regular committee meetings yesterday and will be presented with reports from each today. Those committees include finance and infrastructure, innovation and impact, external relations, and university affairs. At the start of this month, UNC announced it received its second largest single grant in the sum of $180 million for the Measure Project. The U.S. Agency for International Development presented the the grant to the Carolina Population Center for MEASURE, which stands for Monitoring and Evaluation to Assess and Use Results Evaluation Project. The project has brought in nearly $600 million in all since its inception in 1997. The board will also hear about UNC's Galapagos Lab and Science Center and the Honors Study Award Program. And UNC's Board of Trustees meets at the Carolina Inn this morning, beginning at 8 o'clock. WCHL's Rand Northam will be there, and we'll report back right here. It is 6:11 at WCHL. More news in just a moment.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local service, daily insights.
Hi, my name is Stephen Lair, and I'm the franchise owner for Home Instead Senior Care in Chapel Hill. Home Instead Senior Care provides non-medical in-home care for seniors, companionship, meal preparation, medication reminders, on up through personal care and bathing assistance for seniors all throughout Orange and North Chatham County. Well, what I want to talk about today is what I call the white elephant. A lot of the clients we serve have lost their spouses, and we see a huge trend among families and caregivers that we call the white elephant. If you've ever been around someone who's lost a loved one, you've undoubtedly seen this situation played out. Immediately following the loss, everybody offers their heartfelt condolences. A few brave souls may actually offer to reminisce with you about the person you lost, but once the appropriate grieving period has passed, no one mentions their name again. Maybe they're afraid of upsetting their loved one. Maybe they're actually afraid of upsetting themselves. But in both instances, the memory of the departed kind of falls into this conversational abyss that no one dares to broach. And in my mind, the only thing greater than the tragedy of losing the person you love is losing them twice. Imagine if you could never say your wife's name again. For many caregivers and families, avoiding sensitive topics seems like the compassionate thing to do, but in doing it, you actually deny the person you care about not just the joy of reminiscing, but in some cases, you actually deny them an important part of the grieving process. What we do is we encourage our caregivers not to be afraid of the white elephant. Engage the seniors in their life on things that are most important to them. Ask them about their favorite memories. If you close the door on an entire chapter of their life and refuse to talk about it, you'll never really get to know them as a person. Ask them about their wedding day. Ask them about dancing under the stars at the officers' club. Ask them about the hard times, about their biggest mistakes. Ask them about the thing that they love the most. Along the way, you'll hear an unbelievable story, and it's a story that they desperately want to tell you. Well, for more information on this and everything that we do, you can go to homeinstead.com, or you can call us up at 919-933-3300.
This has been The Professionals on WCHL. Local service, daily insights.
All day and all night, this is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com. You're waking up with Ron Stutz.
WCHL News Time is 6:14. Orange County Smoking Ban has received national recognition as National Association of Counties has awarded the Health Department and Board of Health with a 2014 Achievement Award. We're thrilled with the award. It's wonderful that Orange County is being recognized as a national leader in the quest for healthier communities. That is a direct quote from Orange County Manager Bonnie Hammersley in a press release on Monday. NACO Awards, National Association of Counties, counties from across the United States for increasing the well-being of its residents while modernizing county government. Orange's smoke-free public policy beat a host of other county policy applications to win its first achievement award. The smoking ban put in place on July 1, 2013, prohibits smoking in all outdoor locations owned by Orange County and its towns, including sidewalks, bus stops, and parks, in addition to indoor areas that are open to the general public. The goals of the ban are to educate residents about the dangers of cigarette smoking and eliminate secondhand smoke, one of the leading causes of preventable disease in our state. To learn more about Orange County's smoking ban, visit the Health Department webpage at orangecountync.gov/health. We mentioned a moment ago that Kay Hagan now has a 7-point lead over Republican Tom Tillis in her bid for re-election. That's according to the latest poll from Public Policy Polling in Raleigh. WCHL's Princess Streeter has more.
Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan now has a 41-34 lead on Tom Tillis, bringing her up 2 points in May and 5 points in June. Libertarian candidate Sean Hall has voter support of 8%. Public Policy Polling Director Tom Jensen attributes Hagan's spike in supporters to North Carolinians' disapproval towards the General Assembly, as only 19% of voters say they currently approve of the state legislature, while 57% disapprove.
With Tom Tillis being one of the two main leaders of the General Assembly, we're definitely finding that that overall unpopularity of the legislature is rubbing off on him. He has just a 24% favorability rating. 47% of voters see him unfavorably.
However, Hagen can't get too comfortable before November. Jensen told WCHO that the poll also asked Libertarian supporters to choose between a Democratic and Republican candidate, and most said they would vote for Tillis, closing the gap once again to 42-39. In fact, both Tillis and Hagen have consistently tallied negative approval numbers, and Jensen describes this race as one where the people don't really care for either candidate. You can read more on this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Princess Streeter, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Debate on legislation that alters how counties can raise local sales taxes opened up old fault lines between urban and rural North Carolina. The Senate tentatively approved yesterday a measure that would place a cap on what counties can levy in sales taxes. Bill supporters say most counties would have more options to raise revenues if approved by referenda, but four large urban counties, including Wake and Mecklenburg, would lose some flexibility. Senator Malcolm Graham of Charlotte says legislation would harm the state's economic engines by making it more difficult for urban areas to generate funds. But Senator Harry Brown of Jacksonville says smaller counties currently lack many realistic options to raise revenues and fall further behind the wealthier areas. A final Senate vote could come today. WCHL News Time, 617. Time now for traffic and weather together. Traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. And not a lot of traffic so far this morning. The onslaught has not started yet. It is really going to pick up here in just a little while here as people get out and start their regular routines. When it does, Rand Northam is in the newsroom. You'll hear from him in just a little while with their first traffic report of the morning directly out of the newsroom. And in the meantime, if there's something we're not reporting that you know about, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. You can also tweet us at WCHL if you like. However you decide to communicate, please do so safely. You can become a WCHL Road Warrior. The Carolina Inn's Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is where you can savor delectable cuisine prepared with fresh local ingredients created by executive chef James Clark and his talented culinary team. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you this morning by Pita Grill. It is 72 degrees in Chapel Hill. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. Our high today about 88 degrees. Chance of rain is 70% all day, particularly in the afternoon. Tonight, we're looking at mostly cloudy and then becoming partly cloudy after midnight. All in all, there's a 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms this evening. Our low tonight in the upper 60s, about like usual. And then tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies and a nicer day, high in the upper 80s again. Temperature about the same, just not as much moisture in the air. Looking ahead a little bit, tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. On Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the low 90s. Saturday night, we'll get down to about 72. And on Sunday, partly cloudy skies with the highs in the low 90s again. So the temperatures are going to rise just a few degrees by the weekend. And actually, the weather looks pretty nice. Pita Grill is family-owned and located in Timberline Shopping Center. Pita Grill is perfect for lunch or dinner. Check out the popular new menu items, including chicken and beef shawarma, plates, and wraps. All at Pita Grill in Chapel Hill, just off Weaver Dairy Road. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. We normally report on football, and we have lately, and talking about ACC Operation Football and all that business today, we're going to jump over to basketball. Carolina basketball team takes a back seat to the football program this time of the year, but junior Marcus Page has been busy picking up some tips from past UNC legends over the summer and is expecting a Final Four caliber team to hit hardwood in the Smith Center come November. And as you probably know, Marcus Page doesn't take a back seat to anybody. WCHL's Matt Oaks has more on the story.
We have lofty goals, and there's no reason we shouldn't. You know, we have a lot of the same guys coming back. We've incorporated three guys that I think are really going to help us out a lot in terms of positions of need. You know, we need wings. We need guys that can score, and I think those guys can do that. I think we have the pieces. We just need to put them together.
That was Carolina's Marcus Page. With Page's return, the Tar Heels welcome back one of the nation's premier point guards to Chapel Hill. A season ago, Page was named a second-team All-American and voted the ACC's most improved player thanks to his team-leading 17.5 points per game and a conference leading 87.7 free throw percentage. He was also the first Tar Heel point guard to earn first-team All-ACC honors since Phil Ford in 1976. Page says he's learned invaluable lessons from former Carolina stars Raymond Felton and Kendall Marshall. It just so happens that duo plays the same position.
I just pick up little things like how they, how they'll tell the big guy to adjust the ball screen, how they read the top foot of the defender and which way they want to attack. And you can pick up a lot, especially from them, because they're both so crafty and they use their skill set more so than their athleticism, which is similar to what I do. So little things like that you pick up. And then obviously talking to them in the locker room afterwards and just hearing about the stories they had when they were here.
But there's another more recent Tar Heel who Paige credits with preparing him to be more of a vocal presence in the huddle this season.
I think seeing James Michael do that a lot during our win streak last year, he became more vocal and you could tell he really matured and got comfortable being that guy, being that leader, and not be afraid to say something in the huddle or get on people. Seeing him do that has helped me adjust my leadership from more of a lead by example to being able to get on guys. And I think the fact that my teammates respect me enough to listen to what I'm saying definitely helps that.
As far as head coach Roy Williams' expectations, Page says coach wants him to continue to hit the gym hard and become stronger at driving the ball to the basket.
He wanted me to do a lot of the same things that I really worked hard on last summer, in terms of making strides in the weight room, getting stronger and getting able to handle 30 plus minutes a game again, and also just work on, my skill set in terms of finishing around the basket. And I think part of that comes with being in the weight room and becoming even more of a consistent jump shooter.
Page isn't kidding about improving his accuracy. He's aiming to shoot at least 50% from the floor in the upcoming season. There's also been a notable change in off-season motivation for the team as a whole. Page says his workouts haven't been as lonely lately. He's noticed an abundance of, quote, gym rats.
This off-season compared to others is every time I try to get in the gym, someone else is in there, whereas a lot of times in the past I found myself in here by myself or maybe one other person. Now, we're working out together. Like, I'll text Nate and be like, come on, let's go get shots up. Or Theo will ask me if you want to go to the gym and play one-on-one and stuff like that. So this team has more gym rats on it than we've had in the past. And
a combination of fresh, eager talent and a healthy belief in the championship medal of the squad have seemingly led to a more focused summer for Paige and the rest of the Tar Heels as they prepare for a promising season ahead. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A lot of excitement surrounding the Carolina basketball program. Of course, that's just a few months away. And between now and then, we have football. Also, a lot of excitement surrounding Larry Fedora's program. So, a lot of excitement coming from the Carolina campus in general. The Hornets announced that they've signed free agent point guard Brian Roberts to play in Charlotte. Roberts, who spent the past two seasons with the Pelicans down in New Orleans, is expected to back up Kemba Walker in Charlotte this season. Hornets general manager Rich Cho said in a release on Wednesday, "Brian is a quality point guard who we believe will play a key role for us. We look forward to having him as part of our team." The 6'1 Roberts started 42 games last season, averaging 9.4 points, 3.3 assists, and 1.9 rebounds in 23.2 minutes per game. He shot 42% from the field, 36% from three-point range. Prior to joining New Orleans, he spent the 2008-2009 season with Galil Gaboa in Israel's Winter League and then played for Bros Baskets in Germany's BBL from 2009 to 2012. That's probably why you've never heard of him. Of course, we know Brian Roberts quite well around here, but he's a baseball player, the son of former Carolina baseball coach Mike Roberts. Brian Roberts, of course, had a very successful season in major leagues. But as far as his basketball player is concerned, not many people know who Brian Roberts is. I suppose they will now that he's getting ready to play for the Hornets. It is 6:24 at WCHL. That's a look at championship sports.
At Cruisers Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruisers brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruisers sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
It is time now for the Osgood File on WCHL. It's 6:25.
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood. At more and more medical centers across the country, surgeons are using robots to do the cutting. Last year, robots were used in 422,000 surgeries, up 15% from the year before. But is it any better for the patient? A new study on that came out yesterday. The results after this.
Go down the pain relief aisle, and you'll see there are a lot of pain relievers out there. But there's a powerful one you may not have heard of. Salonpas Jet Spray. Salonpas Jet Spray is a clear, fast-drying, pain-relieving spray perfect for sore muscles or joints. It has two active ingredients that give it the strength to work for hours and hours. Look for the blue bottle with the blue cap and spray your way to relief. Salonpas. Powerful relief when and where you need it. Use as directed.
A Good Samaritan is someone who helps those in distress. With Good Sam Roadside Assistance, your Good Samaritan is just a call away. For dependable roadside assistance that protects you and all your vehicles, call 877-GOOD-SAM. Already have good coverage? Check again. You're probably paying extra for each family member. At just $9 a month for an annual plan, Good Sam has you and your family covered. Call 877-GOOD-SAM and get protected today. Offer valid for first-time buyers only. See member benefit brochure for full details.
CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says the study that came out yesterday compared two techniques for bladder cancer surgery.
The use of robots, where surgeons precisely manipulate remote-controlled instruments, and traditional or open surgery, which involves larger incisions and the doctor directly handling the instruments and the organs.
And what was their finding?
Interim results released as a letter to the New England Journal of Medicine showed no difference between robotic and open surgery in rates of complication or length of hospital stay. The findings were so clear, the trial was stopped early.
Dr. LaPook spoke with the leader of that study, Dr. Bernie Bochner, a urological surgical oncologist at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York.
We live in a time where costs are high. Where does this type of surgery fit in?
What has to be paramount in the decision making is, does this improve patient care? Because if it doesn't, then it shouldn't be incorporated and the cost really won't be justified.
There is a difference in cost, isn't there?
Hospitals pay $1.7 million per robot. And a 2010 study at one hospital showed robotic surgery for bladder cancer cost about $1,600 more than open surgery.
But the rise in robotic surgery has led to a fall in teaching young doctors how to do open surgery. And Dr. LaFuchs says,
and that raises a question for the future. Even if further studies favor the open technique in some cases, will enough doctors still feel comfortable doing it?
The Osgood File. This is Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, folks. Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. We're thrilled to have helped over 125,000 homeowners save money by refinancing with HARP. But there are millions more of you who could be saving big money on your home loans by getting HARPed. With HARP, you may be able to refinance with Quicken Loans even if your home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you get HARPed and start saving. Or if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Once again, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Are you looking for new customers? Try Our Local Deal, brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With Our Local Deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at OurLocalDeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit OurLocalDeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
In his third year of running the sidelines, Coach Fedora has his Tar Heels ready for battle in the ACC.
Switzer's free at the 35. He's at midfield. Switzer with the Jets, and he's done it again.
Catch every snap of Carolina football right here on the Tar Heels Sports Network.
Are you getting excited yet about Carolina football? Tar Heels open up the season on August 30th against Liberty, and you can hear it all right here on WCHL.
It's a big time freaking team.
You bet it is, Coach. It is 6:30 at WCHL, and time now for your Chapel Hill Carpenter weather, presented by Crown Honda of South Point. 73 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the upper 80s. Showers and thunderstorms likely to the tune of 70%. Tonight, mostly cloudy with the low in the upper 60s and still a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. So obviously kind of muggy today and tonight. Tomorrow, a little better, partly sunny with high in the upper 80s again, but not with all those clouds and all that moisture. Tomorrow night, mostly clear with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Saturday, partly sunny with a high in the low 90s again. We'll also be in the low 90s on Sunday. Crown Honda of South Point is the home of Dream Service, where your scheduled service and maintenance happen while you sleep. Dream Service from Crown Honda of South Point, located just a minute off I-40 at the 751 exit. Be sure and ask about Dream Service at Crown Honda of South Point.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update. I'm Dave Barrett. The U.S. flight ban to Tel Aviv has been lifted after that Hamas rocket had landed near the airport. Don Daler?
There's a sense of relief in Tel Aviv and in Israel that the FAA lifted the ban, but also it's not like there's joyous dancing in the streets. Frankly, most Israelis thought the ban was silly. They do not think these rockets are much of a threat. They're very inaccurate. They're unguided and have had little impact on Israel in terms of casualties.
Still no ceasefire in Gaza. More than 700 people have been killed. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
All the civilian deaths that are, and we regret each one of them, are the responsibility of the Hamas.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. The Israeli army says about 150 Palestinian terror suspects have surrendered in a Gaza town. They were seen on video blindfolded and handcuffed. About 30 Hamas tunnels that can be used by gunmen to infiltrate Israel have been uncovered.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
73 degrees, 632 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz. As the first domestically acquired cases of chikungunya were confirmed in Florida less than a week ago, the Orange County Health Department is now advising residents to take precautions to stay safe against mosquito-borne illnesses, including the West Nile virus and the newly encountered chikungunya virus. Orange County Health Director Colleen Bridger told WCHL that areas with standing water are ideal locations for mosquitoes to breed.
The way you're going to get this virus is through a mosquito bite if the mosquito is infected. The best way to prevent getting this is to prevent getting mosquito bite. And the best way to do that is to eliminate any breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So bird baths, watering cans, all of those things should be dumped out every couple of days, because if there are any larvae growing in those pools of water, they will die when the pools of water go away.
Bridger warns about when mosquitoes are typically active and what can be done to prevent bites from happening during those times.
Dawn and dusk are the times when mosquitoes are most active. Best thing to do is to wear long sleeves and long pants, because they can't bite you through the material. The other thing you can do is look for bug spray. There's effective bug spray that has DEET, and then there's also effective bug spray that doesn't have DEET. So if you do not want to use DEET, there are other options available to you out there.
Bridger says that though there's no treatment for this virus, it's usually not lethal and has to simply run its course. Those who are suffering from the illness are recommended to see a physician regardless.
It's a virus, so there isn't a treatment than anybody can give them. It's going to have to run its course. And for the vast majority of folks, while it's not pleasant, it does run its course and people get better. But if you're just feeling absolutely horrible, you should always go to your doctor. And there are things that he or she can give you to just help you feel better while your body is fighting off the virus.
Following the first case of chikungunya's discovery in North Carolina, Bridger affirms that the virus has not been domesticated within our state, and all known cases in North Carolina have come from people that have traveled from outside the country in specific tropical locales.
All of the cases in North Carolina have been people largely who've traveled to the Caribbean or some other tropical location.
For more about other mosquito-borne illnesses and how you can prevent them, you can find a link on our website at chapelboro.com. The UNC Board of Trustees will hear just how a $180 million grant will be spent this morning. The board held its regular committee meetings on Wednesday and will be presented with reports from each today. Those committees include finance and infrastructure, innovation and impact, external relations, and university affairs. At the beginning of this month, UNC announced it received its second largest single grant in the sum of $180 million for the Measure Project. The U.S. Agency for International Development presented the grant to the Carolina Population Center for Measure, which stands for Monitoring and Evaluation to Assess and Use Results Evaluation Project. The project has brought in nearly $600 million in all since its inception back in 1997. The board will also hear about UNC's Galapagos Lab and Science Center and the Honors Study Abroad program. UNC's Board of Trustees will meet at the Carolina Inn this morning, starting at 8 o'clock. WCHL's Rand Northam will be there. North Carolina Senator Kay Hagan has a 7-point lead over Republican Tom Tillis in her bid for re-election. That's according to a recent survey conducted by Public Policy Polling. WCHL's Princess Streeter has more on the story.
Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan now has a 41-34 lead on Tom Tillis, bringing her up 2 points in May and 5 points in June. Libertarian candidate Sean Hall has voter support of 8%. Public policy polling director Tom Jensen attributes Hagan's spike in supporters to North Carolinians' disapproval towards the General Assembly, as only 19% of voters say they currently approve of the state legislature, while 57% disapprove.
With Tom Tillis being one of the two main leaders of the General Assembly, we're definitely finding that that overall unpopularity of the legislature is rubbing off on him. He has just a 24% favorability rating. 47% of voters see him unfavorably.
However, Hagan can't get too comfortable before November. Jensen told WCHL that the poll also asked Libertarian supporters to choose between a Democratic and Republican candidate, and most said they would vote for Tillis, closing the gap once again to 42-39. In fact, both Tillis and Hagan have consistently tallied negative approval numbers, and Jensen describes this race as one where the people don't really care for either candidate. You can read more on this story at our website, chapelboro.com. Princess Streeter, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
U.S. Senate candidate Tom Tillis had hoped this year's top North Carolina legislative session would be all over by now, but the budget is over 3 weeks late, and hopes of a July 4th end date are a distant memory. The lingering session means Tillis has had to split his time between negotiating in Raleigh as House Speaker while running for the Senate. The longer the session lasts, the less time Tillis has to close a fundraising gap with Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan. Tillis's campaign manager says he would prefer the session be over, but is confident they'll have the resources to win. Hagan's campaign blames Tillis for a long session because of decisions last year to lower taxes that disproportionately help the wealthy. Lauren Eastham has today's commentary on WCHL, and it's about the North Carolina General Assembly. She has a word for them. She says, get on with it. You will hear that coming up in just a few minutes. Orange County's ban on smoking has received national recognition as National Association of Counties, or NACO, has awarded the Health Department and Board of Health with a 2014 Achievement Award. Orange County Manager Bonnie Hammersley said in a press release on Monday that we are thrilled with this award. It's wonderful that Orange County is being recognized as a national leader in the quest for healthier communities. NACO awards counties from all across the United States for increasing the well-being of its residents while modernizing county government. Orange's smoke-free public policy beat a host of other county policy applications to win its first achievement award. The smoking ban, put in place on July 1, 2013, prohibits smoking in all outdoor locations owned by Orange County and its towns, including sidewalks, bus stops, and parks, in addition to indoor areas that are open to the general public. The goals of the ban are to educate residents about the dangers of cigarette smoking and eliminate secondhand smoke, one of the leading causes of preventable disease in North Carolina. To learn more about Orange County's smoking ban, visit the Health Department webpage at orangecountync.gov/health. We have that contact information on our website at chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 6:39.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane Smith, Cedars member since 2010. Here's what she had to say.
Recently, I went through an ordeal that made me especially glad that I'm living at the Cedars. We were traveling in Ireland and I broke my femur for the second time. After being hospitalized in Ireland air transported to UNC, I was discharged to DeVos Health Center, where I received rehab, physical therapy, and occupational therapy. I really appreciated the ease of transition through the different care levels. The first time this happened, I had to make round trips 3 times a week of 50 miles to receive my rehab. And I really enjoyed the water therapy and beautiful heated pool here at the Cedars. Moving to the Cedars has proved to be a really good choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
There's no such thing as a free lunch. We've all heard this before, but how does it relate to your bank? Harrington Bank is one of the only banks in the Triangle who truly provides free checking. Our competitors say free, but they require you to maintain a hefty balance or limit your transactions. When Harrington Bank says free, we mean free. Free personal checking, free business checking, no lengthy requirements. Stop by one of our 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn more. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Wow, Geico's been saving people money for over 75 years?
75 years? Fancy that.
My dearest wife, do you possess knowledge about Geico, making it feasible for society to spend less capital on automobile insurance for over 3/4 of a century?
Why are you talking like that?
We said fancy that, so I was just fancying it.
Geico, saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. Wake up with Ron Stutz. And remember, we're your station for the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
641 at WCHL. Good morning.
And now, WCHL presents the Commentators.
This is Lauren Eastham. While some members of the NC General Assembly have passed around lumps of coal, surreptitiously placed Christmas wreaths in the legislative chamber, and walked out of negotiations holding their breath, a multitude of teachers' assistants wonder if they have jobs in 1 month. Medicaid services or adequate access to health care for those with low income and the way those services are provided are under scrutiny, if not flat out on the chopping block. Let's get over this partisan bickering and get on to the business of serving the people of this great state. It continues to amaze me how uninformed many of our legislators are about so many extremely important things they are deciding upon. Teachers' assistants perform an integral function to our schools' classrooms, which are busting at the seams with the maximum amount of children allowed per class. Teachers' assistants teach along with the main teacher and make the overcrowded classroom situation work for students who should have closer teacher attention. With little money coming in from the state legislature for schools in general, adding new schools to accommodate growth has become a rarity. Maxed out classrooms in schools with physical disrepair is common and not the educational environment and image we would like to project in North Carolina. Why should we even question the worth of teachers' assistants who have proven to be such an integral part of our coveted educational system? Speaking of education, the General Assembly needs some education on Medicaid and the health effects of not having adequate access to health care. If some hospitals closing now isn't scary enough, then the statistics alone should scare anyone of how many people end up in the emergency room with life-threatening conditions that could have been prevented with good access to care. Having worked within the healthcare system for years, I can tell you firsthand that putting off some minor treatment needs can lead to emergencies and even deaths. Now is the time to act and place this state's very priorities first: health, education, and our general welfare. Stop with the lumps of coals and other stupid antics and get on with it. This is Lauren Eastham.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Tar Heel Trivia is brought to you by the Omni Homestead Resort.
Carolina hosts Pittsburgh on November 15th this season in what could be an important late-year Coastal Division matchup. In the Tar Heels' dramatic 34-27 win over the Panthers last season, Carolina's defense played a starring role. The Heels recorded 7 sacks in the road win last year, the most in an ACC contest in more than a decade. Today's Tar Heel trivia question: do you know the last time the Tar Heels had 7 or more sacks in an ACC game before last year? We'll tackle that bit of Tar Heel trivia after the break. Add adventure to your summer at the Omni Homestead Resort, where you can explore 2,000 scenic acres at one of the nation's premier resorts located in the mountains of Virginia, and receive special savings by booking using the promo code TARHEELS. The Homestead features activities for all ages, including golf, an expansive water park, luxury accommodations at the historic hotel, and more. Book your adventure package at homestead.com and enter promo code TARHEELS to enjoy 40% off your room rate with the adventure package. Visit the Homestead today.
My name is Carson, and I'm 10 years old. I was just 5 months old when my daddy was taken away by a drunk driver. When I think about my dad, it makes me sad that I never got to know him. It would have been so cool to play basketball with him and for me to just be able to give him a hug. I didn't get to hear him say how much he loved me. I miss my daddy every day. Your plans include alcohol. Please include a non-drinking designated driver. Don't you think every kid deserves to grow up with a daddy?
Carolina's defense had a big day against Pittsburgh last season in a 34-27 Tar Heel win, recording 7 sacks, the most in an ACC game in quite some time. Do you know the last time the Heels had more? It was September 9th, 2000, when Carolina recorded 8 sacks against Wake Forest in a 35-14 win in Winston-Salem. Julius Peppers and Ryan Sims did the most damage that day, as each had 2 sacks for the Heels.
Tar Heel Trivia has been brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
All right, Jones, thank you so much. 646 at WCHL.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my Geico insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app, it doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent, what can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the Geico app.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the 3 most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
Table, a local nonprofit that provides healthy emergency food aid to hungry Chapel Hill and Carrboro children, is getting a new look. Newfangled web design team has developed a new logo and website for us to facilitate user navigation and better represent our work in the community. We invite you to go to tablenc.org to check it out and learn more about ways to get involved in the effort to end childhood hunger in Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Thanks, WCHL, for caring about the youth in our community.
Just a little while this morning, Rand Northam's going to be heading out of here to the UNC meeting over at the Carolina Inn. And right now, Rand is here to take a look at early morning traffic.
That I am. Thank you very much, Ron. And getting ready for that meeting, I look at the roadways and see that they're doing pretty well so far.
Good.
15501 northbound and southbound, seeing the usual morning delays. We usually see some delays between Ephesus Church Road and Garrett Road through the I-40 interchange. Just minor to moderate delays there. You might see a little bit of a slowdown, 15501 southbound as well, between Estes Drive and NC-54. That's Raleigh Road. On Raleigh Road, heading eastbound right now, between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, might see some minor to moderate delays as well. All those delays probably just the result of some traffic lights slowing down the speed in areas. Really not too much traffic on those parts of the roads yet, but you might see some brake lights, so be ready for those. And if you see anything that needs reporting, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that safely.
I appreciate you getting so dressed up for me today.
Just for you.
Yeah, I know you did.
That's right.
It's a nice blue tie and matching blue shirt. I mean, and matching tie, and just awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
Really
appreciate
distinguished.
That. Yeah,
you'll fit right in with all those UNC folks over there.
Well,
today,
I'm going to try.
Yeah, appreciate your going over there and finding out what's going on, and I know you'll be reporting on that later on today and certainly tomorrow and in the coming days.
That's right. I'll have that report with Aaron Keck today at 3 o'clock.
A lot of important things being discussed over there.
That's right.
Hey, thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
We will talk to you in just a little while here. It is time now for your Chapel Hill Cumbria weather, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Cruisers. It is 73 degrees right now. Showers and thunderstorms in our forecast, probably in the afternoon, late. Our high today in the upper 80s. It's kind of a muggy day. Tonight, mostly cloudy and a 50-50 chance of rain. Our chance of thunderstorms as well. Overnight low 68. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies, highs in the upper 80s. Not so bad. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the upper 60s. And to kick off the weekend on Saturday, it's going to be hot. High in the low 90s with a lot of sunshine away. Actually, not a bad weekend coming up. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves fresh food, coffee fast. It's guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruisers. Good to go. And it's time now for celebrity birthdays on WCHO. We got a whole bunch of them. Actor John Aniston is 81 years old today. That is Jennifer Aniston's father, I'm pretty sure. Political cartoonist Pat Elephant is 79 years old today. Comedian Ruth Buzzy, remember her from Laugh-In, 78 years old today. Actor Mark Goddard is 78. Actor Dan Hedaya, 74. Actor Chris Sarandon is 72. Comedian Gallagher is 68. He's a guy who throws watermelons all over the place. Actor Robert Hayes, who was one of the stars of Airplane, the movie, 67 years old today. It's hard to believe. Actor Michael Richards is 65. Actress Linda Carter, Superwoman, 63. Country singer Pam Tillis, 57 years old today. Actor Kadeem Hardison is 49. Actress-singer Kristen Chenoweth is 46 today. Actress Laura Layton is 46. Let's see here. Actress-singer Jennifer Lopez, 45. Former Carolina basketball player, NBA basketball player, turned actor Rick Fox is 45 years old today. Happy birthday, Rick. Elizabeth Moss, actress, 32. Actress Anna Paquin, 32. She's on, True Blood? Actress Meryl Wilson, 27. Actress Emily Bett Rickards on Arrow on TV is 23. Television personality Bindi Irwin, who's only 16 today. You might remember her. She is Steve Irwin's daughter. It's been 8 years since his death. And some local celebrities who are celebrating birthdays today would include Bob Northcutt of Durham, Tony Rigsby, voice of the Durham Bulls. You go to Durham Bulls Athletic Park over there, and you'll hear Tony. Tony is celebrating a birthday today. Ruby Martini of Hillsboro has a birthday today, and our birthday winner is Kat McGee, who also lives in Hillsboro. Kat's going to get a $10 gift certificate to the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont, where they love taking care of their customers. Kat McGee, happy birthday from all of us at WCHL.
Another question today, Freddie says, about farming.
Correct.
This is
three
the second
questions in a row.
Second in an installment of three.
In an effort to honor someone that we'll talk about tomorrow.
Okay.
What kind of farm is a formicarium?
A formicarium?
F-O-R-M-I-C-A-R-I-U-M. Formicarium. What kind of farm is a formicarium?
I don't think it was any kind of a farm.
Lots of kids in this town have had them.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think this is farm I ever worked on.
Well, you and I saw them in their natural state.
Really?
Or perhaps we fell down in one of them or something.
Huh. Okay, I have no idea.
919-929-WCHL.
Yeah, that's worth a $10 gift card to Cruisers.
Well,
you're the first
to
get in with the correct answer.
Formicarium, what kind of farm?
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Janet Colm is the only CEO that Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina has ever had. And she's today's WCHL hometown hero.
Well, we're celebrating 30 years of service to the community, remembering back on those old days in Hillsboro and thinking a little bit about everything that's happened since then.
I understand you are the founding CEO and the only CEO of Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina. That's quite a distinction.
Well, it's true, although I often say we really need to give all due credit to the founding board members because they had done a year or so of work before I ever started and really laid a great foundation for us.
Well, we have to give you a lot of credit, too, for growing the organization. It all started out 3 decades ago, and now where is Planned Parenthood of North Carolina?
Well, we did. We started out in a really small two-room storefront in Hillsboro. Now we have a health center in Chapel Hill. We have one in Durham, and we have one in Fayetteville, and serve thousands of people a year. We also have a really strong community education program and increasingly are politically active.
Janet Combe was even arrested at one of the Moral Monday protests in Raleigh. Janet Combe has a real passion for what she does. What got it all started?
I kind of hate to say this on WCHL, but I was a student at Duke. And
oh, that's quite okay.
I took a women's history course there. This was in the early 70s, and I happened to read a collection of letters that had been written to Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
These are letters that were written to her in the early 1900s from women begging for information about birth control. And it was such an eye-opening experience to me because a lot of these women were my age, you know, early 20s, with 3 or 4 children. Some of them had had several miscarriages, and, you know, it just really opened up my eyes to what life was like for women before there was good contraception, and it changed my life.
Suffice it to say that you've changed a lot of other people's lives as well. Janet Combe, CEO of Planned Parenthood of Central North Carolina. You're today's WCHL Hometown
Hero. Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Well, I tell you, a lot of phone calls coming in this morning with this question about farming from Freddie.
Freddie, formicarium.
You formicarium? And I call them in their formicarium.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
An ant farm.
Really?
Yes.
I never heard it called that.
You and I grew up while we watched all those massive blacks and reds, and sometimes they would do battle.
Yeah, I used to have an ant farm in a little plastic container,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was, maybe it was glass. I don't know. I think it was
transparent,
plastic.
I mean, even today, transparent box made of glass or plastic.
Yeah.
That usually is thin enough so the tunnels and the cavities can be, you know, being made by the ants can be seen and their behavior studied.
Right, right.
Usually they're filled with sand or maybe loam, sawdust. But of late, here you go, semi-transparent gel.
Really?
Which the ants can use for nutrition and it provides moisture.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that kind of wild?
Yeah. No kidding. I hadn't thought about an ant farm in a long, long time, but...
Yeah, you know what? You should go down, bring home an ant farm, surprise Beverly tonight.
Oh, I'm sure she would be delighted.
Hours of entertainment. Instead of watching the television, you can watch a colony of ants.
Sure that's going to go over real big at my house.
That'd be great. I can't wait to see Bev after, you know.
Hey, look, here's the formicarium. How about you a formicarium, honey?
Not tonight.
I don't think that would work with Karen either, would it?
Nah. Well, no. Piedmont Wildlife stuff, she'd love that.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Congratulations to Dr. Pat Gutierrez, who called in first with the answer. He was not the only person who knew it. He was just the first one to get in, and Dr. Gutierrez gets a $10 gift certificate to Cruisers. And Freddie will be back with another question for you bright and early tomorrow on WCHL.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Are you looking for new customers? Try our local deals. Brought to you by WCHL and the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce. You offer a deal to the community from your business, and folks purchase it. Everybody loves a deal. With our local deal, your company or organization is featured on 97.9 FM WCHL, on the site at ourlocaldeal.com, and through social media. Want to try the best marketing deal in town? Visit ourlocaldeal.com or call us at 919-933-4165.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you this morning by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. It is 73 degrees, showers and thunderstorms likely today, 70% chance of that. High today in the upper 80s, 70% chance of rain, and more of the same tonight, 50-50 chance of rain with low in the upper 60s. Dickie's Barbecue Pit is in Durham, next to New Hope Commons, actually on the Chapel Hill side of Durham. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. It's 7 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. A lethal injection execution that took nearly 2 hours is raising a new outcry from death penalty critics. Troy Hayden and other media witnesses say convicted killer Joseph Woods struggled to breathe after he was injected with a sedative and a painkiller.
To watch a man lay there for an hour and 40 minutes gulping air, I can liken it to if you catch a fish and throw it on the shore.
Jean Brown also witnessed the execution. She says the man who killed her father and sister deserved to suffer.
Everybody's more worried about, did he suffer? Who really suffered was my dad and my sister when they were killed.
A lethal injection execution should take 10 or 15 minutes. Law professor Deborah Denno believes the Arizona case and problematic executions in Ohio and Oklahoma earlier this year cry out for a Supreme Court ruling.
This is experimentation in every sense of that word. It's experimentation in terms of the kinds of drugs that are used, the amounts of the drugs that are being used, and the procedures that are being used.
Arizona Governor Jan Brewer is ordering a full review of the state's execution process. The FAA has lifted the flight ban it announced after a Hamas rocket landed near the airport in Tel Aviv. CBS News transportation producer Katie Ross-Dominick tells us that doesn't necessarily mean a return to normal service.
Ultimately, it will be up to the airlines to decide whether or not it is safe enough to fly into that area.
The Israeli army says it captured 150 Palestinians in the latest fighting in Gaza. The death toll from 16 days of fighting stands at more than 700 Palestinians and 35 Israelis. The remains of more Flight 17 victims are en route from Ukraine to the Netherlands. CBS's